And Dom's going to come and bring our reading to us.
Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And it's on page 240 if you've got of the New Testament, if you've got a church Bible. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we could be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his sons and daughters. This was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word, which is rich in truth. We pray this morning that by your Spirit, you will help us to understand all of those truths contained in those verses. Help us to get to the heart of what it really means, and help us to make the response that you want us to make. In Jesus' name, amen. If you saw the news over the weekend, I'm sure you would have seen something of the wedding of Princess Eugenie on Friday. Did anyone see any of it? Did anyone watch it? Oh, perhaps you didn't. The papers and news feeds have been full of photos and video clips. Doesn't matter if you haven't seen it. There's just one that really made me smile now, though, and it was a conversation with one of the little bridesmaids. She was Teddy, and she's the daughter of Robbie Williams. And after the wedding, apparently she stood on the steps by the Duchess of York, and in a very loud voice she said, "Are you the Queen?" When the Duchess of York replied no, she then said, "Then are you a princess?" I'm not quite sure what the Duchess of York said to that, but I know there was lots of reporters snapping that moment. And maybe you've never been asked if you're a prince or a princess. Perhaps you are a prince or a princess. Who we are and who others see us to be, though, is really important. There may be times for all of us when we long to be anonymous, to hide in the background, to not be noticed by anyone. And perhaps there are times when we wish we could shout out from the rooftops who we are, especially if we feel like we've been misrepresented or misunderstood. Regardless of how we feel about ourselves, even at this moment in time, every single one of us here today is somebody special. And this opening paragraph in the letter to the Ephesians is a great reminder to every follower of Jesus of both who we are and whose we are. And it serves to awaken within each of us the sheer joy of what it means to live as a child of God. It shows us how God wants us to live as a community of believers, reiterating God's purpose for us as the church today, and reinforcing our own worth in Christ. Perhaps that's why the principal of Spurgeon's Bible College, Nigel Wright, principal when I was there, recommended to all of his students that they should consider studying the book of Ephesians with every church that they were called to serve with. Because this book inspires us all to keep God's purposes at the heart of being God's people. And it encourages us to grasp what it means to be a child of God and to be part of God's church today. When this letter was written, the early church was still trying to understand what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. When some of them were Jews, others of them were Gentiles. They were trying to find out how God was calling each of them to live for him in their new identity, collectively as the people of God. Though we as a church in many ways are different from that early church, still we should be seeking to live as a community of believers in a way that we're serving God's purpose authentically in our culture today. And to be able to do that, first of all, we need to begin to try to grasp what it means that each one of us has been chosen by God. Verses 3 to 8 are full of huge statements that describe what God has done for us. The writer breezes over these incredible truths so swiftly that it can be easy to miss their significance. He tells us that God chose us to be his people before he even created the world. Before time began, he had decided that he would adopt us into his family, making us his sons and daughters. That was his purpose within the creation of the world, that we should be in relationship with him. Then he moves quickly on to tell us what we gain from our adoption into God's family. We've been set free. We've been forgiven for all the wrongs we've ever done. Through Jesus, we're forgiven so that we can be holy and without fault before God. And we've received all of this because of God's amazing love for us. There's so much in these few verses, it can be hard to comprehend what they really mean. To be chosen conjures up many images. I wonder what's the first thing that comes into your mind when you hear the word chosen. Perhaps like me, you were the one who was never chosen when the sports captain chose their teams. In that case, the word chosen might bring back a few feelings of rejection. Maybe that word takes you back to a job interview when you were competing against others to try to be the one who was chosen. Maybe it's a feeling, a good feeling or a bad feeling, about relationships, wanting to be part of a particular friendship group, or longing for someone to choose you. What Ephesians tells us is that before the world began, you were on God's mind. He already had the idea of you, and God, the living God, deliberately chose you to be part of his family and to share in his kingdom. How amazing is that? How incredible. Even if you are someone who's always been chosen first in every circumstance in life. Even if you are someone who can say, I am a prince or I am a princess. But for those of us who at times have ever felt rejected or worthless, if we've ever felt a failure or like we often go unnoticed, what a truth for us to try and hold on to. The living God has chosen us, and in Jesus has forgiven us for the wrong that we've done, so that we can stand blameless before him. You see, our mistakes don't make us a mistake in God's eyes. He always wanted us to be his, just as we are. And because we know he decided that before creation, we know it's got nothing to do with what we've done in our life. It is all because of the riches of God's grace that we can live as his children. All of this is a gift through Jesus. So we can truly praise and bring glory to God. And of course, this is partly what we were designed to do. This morning, I want you to hold on to the truth from Ephesians, to know that you are chosen. But as we're trying to hold on to that truth, I know some of you will have heard those verses, and perhaps even before you can grasp that truth for yourself, you've got all kinds of questions racing through your minds. What does that mean, you say, the fact that I've been chosen? Does that mean that we didn't choose to follow Jesus ourselves? That we had no choice because God made it happen? Surely that leaves me and you as little more than a robot that has to obey its program. And if I have been chosen, does that mean some people are chosen by God and others aren't? How can that be right? How can that be fair? But then again, if that's not the case, does that mean we're all chosen and therefore all saved regardless of what we do? Now, if you thought any of those questions, I just want you to know these kinds of questions have occupied the minds of countless theologians over the years. We don't have time this morning to delve deeper into the issues of election and predestination. But I just want to share a couple of things to help us move through those questions. The Bible says that we are saved by grace and by grace alone. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. So as much as we have chosen to follow Jesus, that's not why we're saved. Someone I regard as a great theologian, John Colwell, once explained, it's perhaps more likely that we have all been created by God to love him, and we have all been chosen by him to worship him. And rather than salvation happening because we have chosen to opt in, which would mean we aren't saved by grace alone, perhaps salvation is prevented by us opting out. Meaning that it is God's will that we should all be saved, but our choice if we don't accept it. I have to say, I think that explanation actually means that we are in fact all chosen, just as Paul tells the Ephesians. But we may choose to reject the gift that God offers to us. So with all the questions and all the unknowns, the fact is, God chose you. God chose us, and we are part of his plan from the very beginning. He imagined us. He knew how he would make us. He knew exactly what we would be like. And he loves us. Now, when we put it like that, the fact that the living God chose to create us so that we would be a part of his salvation plan for the world, doesn't that put an enormous sense of value on our lives? Surely, when we think about that, it not only makes us feel special, but it leads us to a place where we want to worship God. But as incredible as this is, there is more to this section of scripture than our personal relationship with the living God. Because in the next couple of verses, from the second part of verse 8, Paul moves that out beyond us as individuals to the wider community, the world, and the universe. He dares to announce that through Jesus, we see God's plan, which will be completed when the time is right, to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as the head. You see, it is true that we are chosen by God, but we are also part of something bigger, a cosmic plan designed by God to bring all creation together. And that's why it's important to be part of a community of believers, because we've been called to work together to bring in the kingdom of God and to share God's hope with the world. We've already reminded ourselves of this fact as we've shared the words of our covenant, recognizing that God wants a relationship with everyone, and so committing ourselves to look for opportunities to share our faith, to pray for those who do not yet know that they've been chosen by God, to bring in God's kingdom, to make a difference wherever we are. And as we begin to grasp what it means personally for us to be chosen by God, well, then why wouldn't we want to give others the opportunity to know and experience that truth for themselves? Surely it is a natural outworking of knowing our identity as children of God. Yet at the same time, it's a complete mystery that God should choose to trust us to share that hope so that his kingdom can grow. Discovering God's plan for humanity brings us to the point where we have to persevere in believing that things will change, that lives can and will be transformed. We cannot give up hope in any one person or community or nation, no matter how far away they might seem or how desperate a situation that might be. So let me encourage you this morning to keep on praying for your friends and family. Be ready to make the most of every opportunity to tell people what a difference Jesus has made to your life. Remember, God has a plan, and we are involved in the sharing of his hope to our world. Then moving on to the final couple of verses from this section of the letter to the Ephesians, which hint at the kind of life that is to be led by a people who are beginning to understand that they are adopted, forgiven, and richly blessed with a massive inheritance of love. Paul says that God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God promised his people. In other words, our inheritance. And this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. What Paul is hinting at here, and which he will go on in detail to explain later in this letter, is that this inheritance that we've received is actually to be a way of life. The Holy Spirit works within us, helping us to model Christ's values and to live Christ's way. The freedom and forgiveness that we ourselves have received is only because of what Jesus has done for us. And we continually live in that truth. So we recognize that we too need to show the grace and the compassion that we've received to those around us. And it's the Holy Spirit that works within us to help to shape our character and enable us to do this. In other words, what he's saying is that we should be known as followers of Jesus by those around us because our actions and our attitudes are modelling his. Our covenant to one another, to act in love, to support and to encourage, should actually be an outward sign of the work that God is doing in and through us. As we take hold of the blessing that God's given to us, so we in turn should become a blessing to others, a blessing to those here and a blessing beyond the church in the world around us. Now, to me, this makes sense and it sounds very nice, very beautiful and poetic. But the truth is, in reality, isn't it sometimes quite hard to show love and compassion to everyone? It's not easy to keep on giving when we feel we're being taken for granted, or to be gracious when we feel we get the opposite in return, or to be loving when others are treating us in a way that hurts. These are the times particularly when we need to bring those people and those situations before God and to receive the strength and wisdom from his Spirit to help us to model Christ's values. The Holy Spirit has sealed our lives and marked them as God's own. We have been chosen by God. We are his children. And this places enormous value on our lives. But we don't use that value or use God to make our own lives richer or happier or more prosperous. Instead, we are used by God to mend brokenness, to fight against injustice, to bring reconciliation. These verses in Ephesians remind us of the depth of God's love for us, which is great enough for him to choose us and use us, great enough for him to work in us and through us. But we've also been called by God for a purpose, to live for Jesus and to continue his mission so that other people can also know what it means to be a child of the living God. This morning I pray that we will be inspired and encouraged to take that mission seriously. And as we continue to grasp who we are in Christ, that we can live out his values and enable others to know that truth too. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word to us, and then let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you this morning that you have chosen us. Thank you that before the world began, we were on your mind. And you wanted us to be part of your family. This morning, I pray for all of us who have ever felt rejected, worthless, unnoticed, a failure. Lord, I pray by your Spirit, help us to see beyond those things, to look into your eyes and hear you saying to us, I chose you, I love you, and I called you to be my child. Lord, I pray for each of us that you will help us to get more of that sense of worth and value that we have in being a child of yours. And I pray too that you will help us to be able to share that truth with others, so that others can also know that joy of being your child and part of your family. And this morning I pray too for those of us who are struggling to live by your values. And we know what you've called us to do, and sometimes it's so hard. Lord, I pray you will continue that work you've begun in us by your Spirit to transform us, to make us more like you, to share your love and compassion with those around us, that people might see you in us and might praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.